Good to see everyone tonight. Let's turn over to Psalm 62. Let me read this for us and then we'll consider it together. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. Well, this is God's word. Thanks be to God for his holy and inerrant word. So this is a psalm in which we see, really once again, David's faith and trust in God. In verse 1, right, we read, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. Verse 5, similarly, he says, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. That beautiful language in verse 2, He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. And then he repeats it again in verse 6. And of course, when we consider Hebrew poetry, as the Psalms are, remember repetition is or communicates emphasis, right? So when we hear something over and over, it's the psalmist is emphasizing something to us, and so David is expressing his really supreme faith and trust in God. And a couple of interesting quotes, H.C. Leopold says in his commentary on this psalm, he says about David and what is expressed in these verses, there is scarcely another psalm that reveals such an absolute and undisturbed peace in which confidence in God is so completely unshaken and in which assurance is so strong. Also, J.J. Stewart Perron says, and Rick Phillips in his commentary quotes both of these, he says, scarcely anywhere do we find faith in God more nobly asserted, more victoriously triumphant, the vanity of man, of human strength and riches, more clearly confessed, courage in the midst of peril, more calm and more unshaken than in this psalm. And certainly when we read this psalm, there is this feeling, this language of confidence that David has, of trusting in God through his circumstances. And but we would, I think, be remiss if we thought, as we read this, that David's faith here was simply being expressed in this very, you know, stoic, static, struggleless manner, because as is typical of David, his faith is expressed in a very honest, sometimes even raw way, right? And that is true in this psalm as well. That, you know, no, he's not praying, you know, in imprecatory prayers or, you know, crying out in great distress through this psalm. He is expressing, you know, though, great faith and confidence in God. And he's doing so in the midst of what truly are surely difficult circumstances. And so we kind of get to see, in some ways, another side of David and how he interacted in various circumstances. But notice that he is facing difficult circumstances. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says, "How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence?" Now, we read that, and maybe we pick up on the meaning of it. It's not a familiar idiom in our language, but essentially, in the Reformation Study Bible points this out, he's really saying, how long will you continue to kick a man while he's down? That's what he's saying. And so, David is in a state of a vulnerable state, a state in which he is once again facing opposition and difficulty. And in that, he's expressing faith and trust and confidence in God. But there is this development that we see in this psalm. In verse 1, right, he makes that statement about trusting God. And he says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." But then notice in verse 5 how he states the same thing. And again, this is something Phillips points out. He says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." You catch the difference there. It's almost in verse 5, he makes a statement in verse 1 about the reality of his situation, how he's trusting in God. In verse 5, it's almost as though he's urging himself to trust in God, to wait and trust in the Lord. He's reminding himself, as it were, that his hope and his salvation comes from God alone. And then we see it developed even further in verse 8 when he says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." What's interesting about that last statement is that throughout the psalm, he's been talking about waiting in silence, trusting in the Lord in silence. "My soul waits in silence," he says. But here in verse 8, it's almost the opposite. He says, "Pour out your heart before him." And I think it's important to see this because waiting in silence, trusting in God to deliver us from difficulty in trial, right? Having confidence that God will be faithful and keep his promises is not contradictory to pouring out our heart before the Lord, right? That these two things go together, can go together, that we can, pour out our heart before God. We can do so in silence, or we can do so vocally, right? And with great passion. And that's one of the beautiful things when we look at the Psalms and we look at the different sides of David, because we see him pouring out his heart, sometimes silently, sometimes audibly, sometimes stoically, sometimes passionately, sometimes with doubt. And sometimes, as we seem to see here, great confidence, but always looking to God as his ultimate source of hope and salvation. And I do like here what Martin Luther says about this psalm, about this idea of pouring out our heart before God. He says, "Strength fades, courage fails, God remains firm. If you are lacking something, here is good advice. Pour out your heart before him. Voice your complaint freely. Do not conceal anything from him. Regardless of what it is, just throw it in a pile before him. As you open your heart completely to a good friend, he wants to hear it. He wants to give you aid and counsel. Do not be bashful. Out with everything." Throw it in a pile before God is what Martin Luther says. I don't know if you've thought about prayer in that way. Maybe you've thought about your treating your laundry that way, of throwing it in a pile. But Martin Luther is urging us to know that God wants to hear our prayers. He wants to know our burdens, whether we bring them silently or with great boldness vocally. God delights in our prayers. I've heard it said that to come to God rightly is not that we check our bags at the door before we come in, but rather we lay our bags at his feet when we come. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is prayer? The first part says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. And then, of course, it goes on. But the idea Luther is talking about here is to throw it in a pile. Do not be bashful. To make our requests known before him. To trust in him and to know that he is our rock and our salvation. And in him we will never be shaken. So let us spend some time now together in prayer. Maybe we can spend some time first just vocally. We could praise God. We can, throw it in a pile before him, as it were. If you have any cares or concerns or burdens that we want to bring before him tonight, let's just spend a few minutes doing that from where you are. You can do so silently or you can do so vocally so others can hear. But let us come to the Lord in prayer.